All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. March 15th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. We are in the midst of some beautiful weather. I was watching something that was saying that it was going to get cold again. Not today. Feels great. Got to get up, went for a nice walk. Really trying to get back into the routine of a little exercise in the morning before I come to work. Definitely centers me. I love it. Listen to some Iron Maiden. Listen to some jams. Check out all the things going on. You know, there's a road. It's so interesting. You know, I walk. You know, we live in a little neighborhood, right? Walk out of the neighborhood, and I walk along this main road that takes me sort of to another main road, but the idea is reaching this other neighborhood where I walk and do a few loops and then walk back to my neighborhood. But on this road, right, the bottles of liquor that line it are insane. It is crazy how, and they're not the big bottles, they're all those little, the little airplane, airport bottles. Those little, you know, I guess they're a shot. They're everywhere. Somebody around here. Now, so then my mind goes on some journey, right? What is this person doing, right? Because I feel like it's one person. I've heard many stories about people that, you know, they would buy 10 of these, right? And they would sort of keep them going throughout the day, just drinking these little shots of, what are they called? They're like airplane bottles, right? They're just these little guys. And but they're all along the street, right? And they're all vodka. And I'm like, somebody must be, you know, and I can remember. I remember those days of getting that last sip in or whatever it was that I never got to that point. I got caught by my first wife pretty quick in my bad behavior, and she basically, you know, bailed pretty quick. I wasn't throwing little bottles out my window as I was driving home, but somebody is. And it just reminds me, God, I'm so grateful to be sober today. And there must be 20 of these freaking bottles and, you know, Fireball, vodka, I don't know whatever they are, but damn, they're all over the freaking road. So whoever's out there struggling, man, if you ever need some help, come to a meeting, right? Because, man, what a sad state of affairs that person is in, who's throwing all those bottles. But anyway, back to the walk, you know, out and about, feeling good, and, yeah, just really grateful. Today, it is Friday. The end of the week, been a great week. You know, I guess Fridays are sort of wrap up the week. You know, talked a little bit about the sixth step this week, how important that is. You know, the other thing that's big today is we're going to a closing. We are closing on the house that we are selling. And man, a lot of stress. Not stress. I don't know what it is. A lot of anxiety, fear, a lot of weirdness. You know, we are going to sell a house that we lived in for 22 years, and, you know, we're going to make a little bit of money. And money is scary. Money is scary. I mean, we work hard for it. We live for it. We save it up. And the anxiety and fear that it brings is crazy. And when you finally do sell something, right, finally make a little bit of money, it gets scary, right? Because there's a part of me that wants to get wild and crazy, and then there's the sober side of me that knows better, right? And so coming up with a plan, you know, what I've learned today is when things like this, big events like this come up, you know, I have to talk to my father, I've talked to certain people, I talked to my sponsor, right? Had to have some conversations. And then I went and found a financial advisor, right? And I was just talking to my sponsor, in fact, because I was telling him, you know, today's the day. And he goes, oh, are you going to go on a big trip to Disney? And I said, no, I went to a big trip to Morgan Stanley.
I wish I was a flame dancing in a candle, lighting up your living room, Toronto. I could bring some romance without any scandal. And then when you were done, you just put me out. I wish I was a tune you sang in your kitchen, putting your groceries away and washing your dishes. I could float around your tongue and ease the tension. And then when you were done, you just quiet down. But if I get too close, will the magic fade? Would I turn you off or away? If I pull you,
yes, Avett Brothers, I Wish I Was. What a great song. It seemed appropriate for today. But yeah, it is a big day. I did make, I had an appointment last week with Morgan Stanley, right? Because the fact is that I do not want to waste this money, right? And when I talk about, listen, for a guy like me who has no money, when you get a little bit of money, it feels like a lot of money. But in the big picture, this ain't shit, right? In the big, with the big boys, right? This ain't shit. But for a bum, ex-drunk, alcoholic in recovery who has had to work for every freaking single little penny he's ever had, it feels like a lot of money. And so I know one thing. I want to make sure we take care of the money because one day I do want to retire, right? And we want to have money so that we can hopefully have some comfort on the last quarter, right? So, you know, you do things, right? You make a plan. And part of the plan was to meet with people that are smarter than me when it comes to money. And that's what I did. And, you know, I set up an account with this guy. And I'm basically going to take all the money that we make and we're going to invest all of it. All of it's going into the bank. Bye-bye. And we're going to just put it away, not pay attention. Because I am one of those guys. And, you know, I talked about this in the podcast this week about being character defects. One of my character defects is around money, right? I can't exactly put my finger on it either because I have a job. I make decent money. We are okay, right? We have enough money to survive. We are not, thank God, right? And I know people are, and I feel for people that are out there struggling. And listen, we aren't struggling because we don't do anything, right? Somebody said, you want to be rich? Minimize your money requirements. And I was like, oh, right. Well, that's just very smart. Minimize the money that is required for you to survive, and that way you don't need as much and you can get by. That's what we do, right? We don't go on vacation. We don't go on any cruises. We don't go on spring break. We are home. Our vacations and all that stuff basically is my wife being a stay-at-home mom and being home with our kids. And that to us is way, way, way more important than a trip to Disney. Even though my wife says, we need to go to Disney. I'm like, we're not going to Disney. First of all, we don't have any money to go to Disney. But yeah, it's a weird time, right? And so we are okay. We do not, you know, we don't need to go crazy. But it talks about in the book, you know, I'm that guy that could easily become the miser, right? Hoarding the money, being so afraid to spend money. You know, I saw that commercial. I had a little shift in my thinking, you know, a month ago when I saw that commercial with the guy. He's like driving the truck through the woods and he's talking about the lady. He's like, yeah, they had her desk cleared out by the end of the week, right? She left 2 weeks vacation. She left a week of sick leave. She left a pension. She left her 401k. She left all this stuff that she'd been hoarding her money and putting into for that one day when she would get to retire. And then she died, right? And left all of it. There's that story, right? And then there's, you know, the story of the person who spends all their money and is in a ton of debt, right? I watch, there's, I mean, if you want to find people out there being irresponsible about money, there's a lot of people on YouTube exposing these people, and it's, I feel bad for them, right? You know, they get behind in something and they spend a lot of money. You know, a lot of these young people spend a lot of money in DoorDash, and, you know, I get it. I remember being young. I didn't really care, right? We did whatever. I can tell you, we didn't have the money. When I was young, we didn't have any money. These kids today have fucking tons of money. I don't know where they get it all. But they got a lot of money, and they waste a lot of it in a lot of these things like DoorDash and whatever. So, you know, there's that extreme case, and then there's, you know, the person that stuffs all the money under the mattress and doesn't spend any of it. And is trying to find a place in the middle, right, that you can have some comfort and not be tormented. I do not, the promise of financial insecurity will leave us has not happened for me. Or it has happened, and I've just had different expectations of that promise, because money's still scary, right? And it's scary if you have it, and it's scary if you don't have it. And so for me, the solution is, and like I said, you know, I knew we were going to be selling this house, and I knew that we were going to get some money, and so I had to come up with a plan. So I reached out to a financial advisor and somebody smarter than me, and I set up an account, and when we go to closing today, we will take that check and we will have it wired over to them, and they will be put into a savings account. And my wife and I both have discussed this, right? And we both come up with the idea that this would work, and it's what we're doing. And so I'm excited. I hear a horn honking. Push your button. So that's what's going on. Trying to stay cool and calm, and we'll be fine. But yeah, it has been a great week. You know, the sixth step, I did discuss it. It is, you know, character defects, right? And there is some character defects when it comes to money. I haven't, as long as I've been doing this, some of these things I'm not exactly sure of, right? And when it comes to the money, I'm still a little weird. Why do I get afraid, right? I've never slept under a bridge, right? I've never been homeless. I am one of those people that have had parents that, you know, didn't allow me to hit bottom, right? I could have gone a lot farther down, but my parents stepped in and would always help me out, and always been grateful for that. Could I have seen the benefits of them letting me go down farther? Probably, but as a parent and as a child of a parent, I also get it, right? We don't like to see our kids suffer, and they didn't want us to suffer, and they've always helped us. And luckily, we've both, my brother and I, have finally gotten our shit together. But, you know, for some reason, like, I still have this worry about money that we will one day be homeless. And listen, I think it's a good conservative position, right? Because I also know people that aren't as conservative, right? And they do, and I see, you know, I have a client, they go to Disney once a year, they're on vacation, they take 3 to 4 cruises a year, right? They do one cruise, and before they're off their boat, they're signing up for the next one. And I see their pictures, their family pictures on Facebook and on the cruise, and part of me, you know, has jealousy, right? I wish we could do that, right? But I, like I said, right, you know, we had to make a decision what was going to be more important. And the fact that my wife doesn't work and she's a stay-at-home mom is, you know, we have to give up some things. And I like it that way. I couldn't imagine my wife working now. And she used to work. We used to, you know, we were just like every other family, both working our asses off, sticking our kids in daycare, sticking our kids in camps. Right, I remember we used to have to take the kids to the Boys and Girls Club. I remember I'd drop them off. My kids would be like, when are you coming back? I'd be like, as soon as I get done work, buddy. What time's that going to be? I'm like, I don't know, 5? It's 5 hours away. I'm like, yes. I felt like I was dropping them off at probation. It was terrible. Listen, not that there's anything wrong with that. I think we all have that feeling when we leave our children somewhere. I mean, I also remember leaving them going, thank God for this place, because I couldn't imagine having my kids home all day either. So it works both ways. But, you know, today we don't have to do that. And they get to be at home, and my wife picks them up from school. And you know, we get to cook dinner and try to feed them and be healthy. We still eat McDonald's sometimes, but it's just a lifestyle choice. But, you know, when even like up to this point, thinking about this money, I was like, ooh, maybe I'd buy this, right? Or, oh, maybe I'll buy that. And I'm like, you didn't need it before. Why do you need it now? Right? But then I'm like, why don't you loosen up a little? So it's weird. I'm like all over the freaking place when it comes to money and this kind of situation. You know, I could take the position we don't need anything, but we like to have fun, right? I wanted to buy this camera. You know, I do a lot of getting back out into the ocean, right? Doing the ocean paddling tomorrow, in fact, trying to get back to 2 days a week. That's the other thing I've been trying to do is work on my health, man. I'm about 10 pounds overweight. I need to get back at it. But, you know, I wanted to buy this camera, right? And I had 100 reasons. I want to mount it on the boat. I want to watch how we paddle, watch how we stay in sync and all this fun stuff. And, you know, it's like $400, this camera. And I'm like, do you need it? Not really, right? Is it going to change, right? Am I training for the Olympics? No. Am I training to be the best paddler in this boat? No. Right. In fact, I'm not even signing up for a lot of the races because, you know, I really can't. But, you know, I feel like there's a part of me that wants to film us paddling. Right. And so I come up with these ideas and these reasons. And at the end of the thought, I'm like, oh, that's bullshit. You don't need this camera. Don't get it. And so I didn't buy it. But then I'm like, well, goddamn. Right. Like, can we have fun too? How do we justify buying? I guess, you know, there's the other side. It's like you get nothing, right? You save all your money and you die with it. And who wants to do that either? So what's the right answer, right? Do we get, just because we're sober today, do we get nothing? We have lost the privilege to have fun and buy cameras and stuff. I am going to buy the camera, by the way. I do want to buy it. I think it's cool. It's like a GoPro, but it's a new camera. It's a Action 360, I think it's called. And you can put it on this little pendant and hang it around your neck, and it'd be awesome. And I'm going to have so much fun with it. I like that kind of stuff. But it took a long conversation to get to the point where I felt like I was allowed to buy this camera. And the other thing is I do have a job, right? I work hard and make money, so. Do people out there struggle with money? You know, I was telling my sponsor, I go, listen, whether you have 10 bucks, you know, that was one of the things, you know, obviously when it comes to alcohol and I have a drink, if I have one drink, I cannot stop, right? Money does the same thing to me. I remember when I lived in San Diego, I may have told this story before, but I worked in a kiosk, a photo booth, or it was a key shop, right? Back in the day, right, there was a thing called Fox Photo. I don't know if anybody remembers, but there were these little miniature kiosks that you would find in parking lots, and you could pull up, give the person your film, right? Back in the days of film, you drop off your film, and then you would come back a week later, and there would be pictures, right? And you could pick up your pictures, and they were called Fox Photo. And a guy out in San Diego, he decided to change them all into these kiosks for keys. And they were called fast keys. And you would pull up and they would hand you the key. And then I would make the key replica inside the little building and then give them the key so they would have an extra key. But we did all sorts of stuff in there. Made trophies and license plate frames, all sorts of shit. Key tags, engravable stuff. I was in there doing all sorts of shit. I was also on drugs and tweaking, and it was a tweaker's dream in there. But the point was is that I would listen to the radio all day, and one day on a Thursday, $1,000 Thursday, I made the call and won $1,000 on the radio. And I had no money, right? I was living with my parents. I was freaking tweaking, barely holding a job together. I had nothing, and I won $1,000. And I remember I did not want to spend it because I didn't want it to be less than $1,000. It was my real first experience with money. And it tormented me, right? I didn't want to spend it, but I wanted to spend it, right? My ego wanted to have the money. I wanted to be like, yeah, look at me. I got money. But then the other side of me wanted to spend it. And so it was this battle. Eventually, I spent it. Eventually, I spent it all, right? But it was my first experience of how powerful money is in my life. And it's not always good. And it's interesting that, you know, after the ninth step, it talks in the ninth step promises where it talks about this financial insecurity will leave you. And if I work through something like I, you know, like I sort of just did in this podcast, if I kind of work my way through it, I'm not in financial fear, right? The big thing is I don't drink and do drugs, right? If that was over my head, oh my God, I don't know what I would do. But since for today, at least, I'm free of that worry of picking up a drink and a drug. You know, I know that as long as I'm, you know, you're at work, right? You're going to do a great job. You got a great clientele. You know, you'll do a nice day's work, put that money in the bank, go home, have a nice dinner, hang out with your family, and we'll do it all again tomorrow. If I continue to do that and try to be responsible with my life and stay in the moment, right, stay in the day, I have no financial insecurity, right? But if I leave the day, right, if I start stretching my brain and thinking about the future and the past, you know, and I start thinking about retirement, right, and I think about just whatever it is, right? Then I start to get worried, right? How are we ever going to do that? How, you know, I saw something the other day that says you need $1 million to retire. I'm like, well, shit, I'm never getting $1 million, right? I'll never reach that. And then I'm like, well, shit, I'm never going to be able to retire now. Darn, right? And I start getting all worried about that. Sickness. And that's a great reason why we have to stay in the day. Go to work, show up, do a good, honest day's worth of work, come home and do it all over tomorrow. And you know, if I continue to do that, you know, one day I should be able to retire. Now, will it be, you know, in the Keys? No, right? I'll be retiring right here in Delaware. You know, and who knows? I may work till I die, right? I sort of feel semi-retired now with my job as a hairdresser. I have the best freaking job. Right, I don't make the most money, but I get to chat. And I had a lady come in the other day, and she's like, "Don't shampoo it, just a spritz, trim the back and a little bit off the sides, and it'll be perfect." I'm like, "Okay." I'm figuring out how to extend this appointment because it's literally 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you know. And then I had to charge her, and she's like, "And then tip me." I'm like, "Is this for real?" Like, I really. You know, but that's the job. You know, that's, I think we probably, whatever job that we all have, you know, there's probably moments where you're like, I can't believe I get paid for this, right? What an amazing thing. And then I'll have days where I'm like, I'm not getting paid enough, right? So it's up and down. But it's, you know, the big thing for me today is that I don't drink and do drugs. I think as long as that's happening, I probably won't fuck it up too bad, right? But I know if I put a drink in my mouth, I lose everything. And I have to just keep reminding myself of that and staying in the day. What time is it? I'm working today. Oh, shit. Let me read. So that's what's going on. We're going to closing. I have a plan. I've made contact with my sponsor. I've told him about what's going on. You know, I've put things in place so that this should all go smoothly. And, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal. But these are some of the things that I have to put in place today. A plan, communicate, expose my secrets, right? If I was making this money and not telling anybody, that might be bad, right? So I'm talking to my sponsor, explaining my plan, and, you know, hope it all works out. It should. Honestly, just so I can stop thinking about it, right? It's giving me the anxiety. All right. Let's see. All right. So daily reflections. The God idea. Sorry. March 15th. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. Let me read that again. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. I don't know what that means. Read that. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 52. Like a blind man gradually being restored to sight, I slowly groped my way to the third step. Having realized that only a power greater than myself could rescue me from the hopeless abyss I was in. I knew that this power that I had to grasp and that it would be my anchor in the midst of a sea of woes, even though my faith at that time was minuscule, it was big enough to make me see that it was time for me to discard my reliance on my prideful ego and replace it with steadying strength that could only come from a power far greater than myself. Yeah. You know, I mean, even honestly, like this whole situation going down, selling this house and getting this money, you know, the third step has been a big deal as far as what I've been going through, right? Like, you know, we turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding, right? And so what that means to me is I have to make better choices, right? And there could have been a time in the past where something like this may have happened and I didn't really make a plan, right? And I just got, whether it was money or something came my way and I hadn't put a plan into place to sort of protect it and protect myself, and it goes awry, right? You spend all the money, you break something, whatever it is, right? And then you go, why me, right? Why me? Right. Why is it why can't I get a break here? Right. And it's because, right, we didn't really do the third step. And so when I found out that when we had the opportunity to sell this house, part of me was like, I'll sell it. Like, I could sell it myself. Why would I want to do that? To make more money. Right. Greed. Right. And I'm like, I don't want to pay a real estate agent. I'll sell it on my own. I'll take the pictures and I won't have to give them any money. And I don't know, maybe I could have, but the reality is I'm not a real estate agent. So I made a decision. I said, no, let's get a real estate agent. I got a guy. He's a good friend of mine. He was huge in selling this house for us, right? The house sold itself, but he was there. He's like, Tom, for some reason, the heat's not running. The heating oil had ran out, right? He was like, he was a big part of you know, getting us to this point, and I'm super grateful for him. So, you know, I could have chose the ego decision, right? Sell it yourself, make all the money. But I said, no, why don't we get a person that's a professional that knows what they're doing, right? And so that was a decision I had to make. That was a more of a humble position, I think. I don't know if it's a relationship with God, but it was opposite of what ego was telling me to do, right? And then when it comes to, like, you know, you sell the thing and then you end up with some money, I'm like, oh, I'll invest in myself, or I'll put it under a mattress, or I'll put it in my bank. No, that's not a great idea. I'm going to reach out to a financial advisor, right, who knows all about this stuff. You know, I've seen a few things on YouTube. All of a sudden, I'm a financial expert. I'm not. I don't know shit, right? I'm like, well, I was thinking we could do this and this. And he goes, yeah, that's great if it's a high interest rate, right? But the Fed's calling, predicting a lower interest rate, and so that may not work. I'm like, oh. Well, I didn't see that YouTube video, right? I don't know shit. So I have to call. And so I'm making better decisions. I hope, right? Who knows? The financial market could crash and all the money gets gone and I'll be a victim, right? But I don't think that's going to happen. I think we'll find safe things that aren't too risky, right? But the point is that I'm making choices today so that later on I don't go, you know, you're just a dumb shit, Tom. So this, you know, the third step, the steps are always, I remember, my sponsor used to say, you know, what step are you working on? If I was having a problem in my life, he'd be like, what step are you working on? And everything that happens in my life, I feel like I can find some answers in any one of the steps, right? We admitted we are powerless over financial situations that our life has become unmanageable, right? You know, we have to admit. Who's running my financial planning right now? Is it my ego or is it my humility? There's always ways that I can find a solution in these steps somewhere. But I have to be willing and I have to take a hard look at it. Anyway, wish me luck. I hope everyone has a great weekend. I'll fill you in. You know, if I come to work in a souped up Volkswagen, you know, I didn't take my own advice. Joking. Have a great weekend. Later.
I'm drawn to you.
I wish I was a sweater wrapped around your hips. And when it got too cold, into me you'd slip. And when the sun came back, you would hang me up. And I would watch you while you undress. But if I get too close, will the magic fade? Would I turn you off or away? If I pull you in, now would I push you out? Or something here you care about? I'm not a song, I'm not a sweater, I'm not a fire, I'm something better. I'm a man in love, writing you a letter. Will you take it? Will you keep it? Will you read it, believe it? I love you, I'm sorry.